Okay, it's 10b2 Yudamid base.
Ibur Hachodesh Vishalusha.
We're a little bit past that. Okay, you know, we're gonna start 10b1. No, B1. Yudamid base, four lines to the top of the page. Or in this Gemara, 10b1. At the bottom of the first column. Okay, the Mishnah says, Ibn Achedish Mishleisha. We learned last week, we explained this. There's 29 days of a month, there's 30 days of the month. When the day, month is 30 days, it's called Ibn Achedish. So the Gemara says, to do Ibn Achedish, the Mishnah said you need three. A bezdin of three. So the Gemara says, Chishav Lektani, it doesn't say about figuring it out if you need it or not. Kiddush Lektani, it doesn't say that you need three to sanctify it. It means, Ibor means the court makes it the 30th day. The court makes it a leap month. So the Gemara asked, Loi lekatcha, don't let Bezdin not do anything. If Bezdin doesn't make after the 29th day Rosh Chodesh, then obviously automatically after the 30th day is Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara thought now that the Mishnah said, when it says Kiddush Achedish 3, Kiddush Ibor Achedish 3, it means that to proclaim the 30th day from the previous month, you need Bezdin to do it. So Gemara asks, what do you need Bezdin? Automatically becomes, if Bezdin doesn't make after the 29th day, Rosh Chodesh, then automatically after 30 days...
It says the first day. You say 29th day. So they come and say, okay, now today is the first day. Instead of
but they says if they don't, okay, then after the 30th day becomes Rosh Chodesh. So Gemara speaks of Rosh Chodesh Aleph. Not Lamed, Aleph.
Okay.
Right? So the Gemara thought what the Mishnah means is for Bezdin to proclaim Aleph Rosh Chodesh after 30 days, you need a Bezdin of three. So the Gemara asks, if Bezdin doesn't do anything, automatically it becomes Rosh Chodesh after 30 days. Why do I need Bezdin to make it Aleph after 30 days?
You never have a minimum of 31 days?
No, never. So the Gemara says, "Lay lekatcha, let Bezdin not do anything." And automatically, why do I need a court to tell me that the 31st day is Aleph? And Abaye said, "No, say Kiddush Achedish. Bezdin needs to sanctify it." Okay, the Gemara says Bezdin needs to sanctify it. So Tanya Namiyachis, so we learn Taka Kiddush Achedish, sanctifying the month. V'ibir Hashana. And making a leap year, you need Bishleisha Divrei Rabbeir. Okay? So therefore, what the Gemara is saying is like this. According to Abaye, Bezdin needs to make the 31st day Aleph. They need to sanctify it. Even though on its own is going to be Rosh Chodesh, but you need Bezdin to sanctify it.
Why?
That's what we'll see in the Gemara in a second.
Does it explain what sanctifying means?
The Bezdin says Mekudesh, it's Aleph.
And that makes it
Aleph. Okay, we'll see in a second.
No, makes it sanctified.
Ahmed Ovid said, how could Abaye say that in the Mishnah? Ha'ibur Ktani. The Mishnah doesn't say Kiddush. It says Ibur. So how can Abaye say the Mishnah means Kiddush if the Mishnah says Ibur? Ella Ahmed Ovid said like this. Kiddush B'yema Ibur. When the Bezdin on the 30th day, okay, makes that day Rosh Chodesh, the 30th day, Bezdin needs to sanctify it. Meaning, if Rosh Chodesh is after 29 days, for the 30th day to become Aleph, Bezdin needs to be Mekadesh it. Acher Ibur, but if Rosh Chodesh is on the 31st day, Lekka Kiddush. You don't need to sanctify the month. In other words, what Rava says, what the Mishnah means is like this. For Bezdin to make, after 29 days, Rosh Chodesh, and the 30th day, that you need Bezdin to proclaim. But if it's on the 31st day, I don't need Bezdin to say anything because God sanctified it.
It's automatic.
It's automatic. But therefore, Rava says, this is what the Mishnah means. When the Mishnah says, Ibur, it means for Bezdin, and this he's learning a little bit differently, for Bezdin to make the 30th day Rosh Chodesh Aleph, that Bezdin needs to sanctify.
What happens to the Korbanos when they're late?
They waited with the Korbanos.
So let's say they did the Korban, And then the Eidim come in and say...
So they bring Karb Musaf.
Another one?
Not the same Karb. The morning carbon is the same every day of the year. What was special about Rosh Chodesh? A carbon musaf. The regular carbon was the same every day. Okay? That's what we learned. We're learning about 2 days Yom Tov. One time, they brought the afternoon carbon already. And then the Eidim came. So Rabbi Yechman Zaki made a takana that if the Eidim come afterwards, we push it off to Rosh Chodesh to the next day.
So it is... Is Rosh Chodesh another Rosh Chodesh?
No, the next day is Rosh Chodesh.
But the Korban was given.
No, that's why they said it's not Rosh Chodesh today. Tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. And tomorrow they'll do everything right.
What about the Korban that was given?
It was a regular weekday Korban. They didn't do the Rosh Chodesh Korban.
What if they did the Musaf too?
That's my question.
Didn't until the Eidim came. What do you mean they did?
That's my question. Let's say they announced that it was Rosh Chodesh.
They can't if the Eidim don't come. How does Beis Din know after 29 days that the 30th day is Aleph? How does Beis Din know?
They wait for the Eidim.
They wait for the Eidim. So normally the Eidim came right away in the morning. So they said, okay, the Eidim came, checked them out, today's Rosh Chodesh. What happens if they come later in the day, 12 o'clock, who cares? The morning carbon they did anyway. Now the question, carbon musaf, they'll bring the carbon musaf. One day they came very late, it's probably a Laker game on, so they came very late, so then they needed the... So what did they do? They had a problem. They said, they're not coming, let's bring the afternoon carbon. Right? So then they messed up, so they made a takon, and Beis Din could do whatever they want.
And that could be common, because sometimes birth of the moon is in the middle of the day.
No, but you see the moon at night, no.
You have to see it at night?
Yeah.
You don't see moon at the end of the day. No,
it's still dark.
Takon is name. Yeah, that is his name.
Okay. Umani rabalazib rab tzadiki. The Tanya says in a brighter Belozer Beratzadik Eimer Im Lein Nira Bizmanei. If the moon is not seen after 29 days, Ein Mekadshinasi. Beis Din doesn't need to be Mekadishit. Why? Shekrakit Shemayim. Because Hashem made it all right. You have no choice. It has to be Rosh Chodesh, right? So this is what Rav is saying. Rav is saying what our Mishnah is saying is like this. Where do you need a Beis Din of three? If after 29 days, the next day Beis Din wants to make Rosh Chodesh, Beis Din needs to say Mekudesh. And how much of a Beis Din do you need? Three people. What happens if Beis Din didn't? If Beis Din didn't, then the 31st day anyway is the Chodesh, because it can't be anymore. Hashem made it holy already. Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman says a different answer. Kiddush Acher Ibe B'Shleisha. In other words, when a Chodesh is on the 31st day, that's when you need it. But b'yayim iber lek chodesh. He holds just the opposite. Rav Nachman, 1 second. Rav Nachman holds that if you want to sanctify it after 29 days, Beis Din does not need to do it. If you want to do it on the 31st day, then Beis Din needs to do it. Mamish, the opposite of Rav. Umani, in which opinion is this? Plimu. That was his name, Plimu. The Tanya, Plimu, Eimer, Bizmanei. If it's in the proper time, a mikachin asi Beis Din doesn't need to sanctify it. Shalei bismanei, but if the moon is seen on the 31st day, mikachin asi you do it. Okay?
Mikadishin to first?
What?
You are mikadishin that the first day is Kodesh?
No, the second day.
You just said 31st is gonna be...
Aleph. So then Beis Din needs to do it.
The Mekadesh the first?
Yeah, the 31st day becomes Aleph.
Yeah.
No. So they say Mekudesh. Now, why? 1 second. Why does Plimo say what he says? Doesn't make sense. Rava makes sense, L'cheira. Yeah. And the 29th day could be either way, so Beis Din needs to do it. So because Plimo holds, Beis Din never has to sanctify it. Beis Din doesn't have to, never. They don't have to. After 29 days, people expect it to be Rosh Chodesh. Why? That's because that's most of the time you see it after 29 days. What does Bezdin do on this? Why does Bezdin have to be Mekadosh the 31st day? Just to give Bezdin the koyach, that even though this is not the day you expected it to be, we're making it anyway.
What is the reason that some months are 29 and some months are one day Rosh Chodesh, some months are two day Rosh Chodesh?
In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there was no such thing as 2 days Rosh Chodesh. A month of 30 days, a month of 29 days. Right. That was it. Okay? Aleph was also always Rosh Chodesh. Lamed was nothing. Okay? Now that we have the set calendar, the way they set up the calendar is because the lunar month is 29 and a half days, approximately. Okay? No, so therefore, they made sometime Rosh Chodesh after 29. You can't make a Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the day. You can't say, okay, noontime Rosh Chodesh, you can't do that.
No, what I'm asking, why is it that, for example, Kislev is 2 days and Tevet is 1 day? Why isn't Tevet 2 days and Kislev 1 day?
Oh, because they started from the beginning of the year.
Okay. So one is one?
One's two. Now, because it's not exactly 29 and a half days, mm-hmm. not exactly 29 and a half days, so sometimes we need 2 30s in a row or 2 29s in a row. Therefore, Cheshvan and Kislev, Tishrei they don't want to play games with. Because it's Rosh Hashanah, no? But Cheshvan and Kislev, sometimes both are 2 days, sometimes both are 1 day, sometimes one and one. Like this year, it's both days full. Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan was 2 days, and Kislev was 2 days, and Tevis was 2 days, will be 2 days.
How do they do that?
And by the way, this is the longest possible year in days, because it's a leap year. Plus, Cheshvan and Kislev both have 30 days instead of 29 or 1 and 1. So this year is the longest year, not the longest of history, because it could happen a lot of times. But you can't have a year in days in the Jewish calendar longer than this year.
This way you don't miss Tehillim.
Right, you don't miss Tehillim, yeah.
What is the mechanism of making something Kodesh? Just by
Dibur? Bezdin says Mekodesh.
The Dibur does it?
Yeah. How does somebody make an animal Hegdish? What does he do?
No.
What?
No.
He says it's Hegdish, it's Hegdish.
The Dibur.
How does Shemaim do it?
How do you tell somebody what you really think of them? The Dibur.
When do you get married?
Oh, yeah. Oh. And how does Shemaim do it? There's no Dibur.
Automatically becomes Rishchet. Okay, right then. So the parable is interesting. Rabbi Lazar ben Tzadik holds that if it's on the 29th day, Bezdin has to be Mekadesh it on the 30th day, not. And Plimo is just the opposite. Ravashi says like this. Chilaylam chishuv ktani. The Mishnah tak it says chishuv, like it says in the Mishnah. What does it mean? Umay ibur. Chishuv the ibur. Even though the Mishnah says ibur. Even though the Mishnah said the expression ibur achedish v'shleisha, it doesn't mean ibur. It means the reckoning of the ibur. Now the Bezdin needs to figure out: do we make it 30 or do we not make it 30? And that you need a Bezdin of 3. Why does the Mishnah use the word ibur instead of chishuv? He says, because it needs to use the expression ibur shana, the leap year, which was in the same thing, ibur chaydish ibur shana, whether you make a leap year or not is also up to a Bezdin of 3. So it says ibur chaydish also. But really, when the Mishnah says ibur chaydish needs 3, it means the calculation, not the sanctification. The calculations to know if the month should have 29 days and the month should have 30 days, that is a Bezdin of 3. What?
Pre-calendar, pre-Hillel.
That's what he's talking about, yeah? By the way, excuse me, just for the record, even after Hillel set up the calendar, they didn't use it. Even in the time of the Gemara, according to many opinions, Abai and Rav's time, they were still doing it Kiddush Al Pi Ariya in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
Okay. So my question was, the way we started this year was after 29 days, automatically people would assume that this is the first of the Chodesh and they would be Mekadesh.
No, they weren't.
They would still wait for.
Of course, until Besdin says it, you can't do anything. Let me ask you a question. What difference did it make in those in the days of the Beis Hamikdash? What difference did it make when Rosh Chodesh was? As far as the day of Rosh Chodesh itself?
Nothing. It just had to be a few days.
Yeah, so the Beis Hamikdash had to know. Who else had to know really when Rosh Chodesh was? You had to know for Yom Tov.
Yeah.
Because if Aleph is Monday, then Pesach is 15 days later. If Aleph is Tuesday, then Pesach is 15 days later. Right? But as far as Rosh Chodesh itself is concerned, who cared? They didn't daven with Yalevi Yovei.
The women.
Come in Pesach.
So the Beis Hamikdash had to know the difference. Who cared? It wasn't that important those days. So people expected it to be, so who cares? It was or wasn't.
They want to know what they...
What do they want to know? Say chitas. For chitas they had to know.
Rosh Chodesh.
Huh?
Rosh Chodesh has a special energy in it.
I promise you that if you go to sleep through a day and you get messed up and Rosh Chodesh comes, you ain't going to get no energy. Okay. Cheshev Chodesh in. So the Gemara says like this. Ravashi says, Cheshev Chodesh in. That you need the reckoning of the Chodesh. But Kiddush HaChodesh Lai, Mani Rabbi Eliezer. This is a third opinion. Rabbi Eliezer says, Bein bizmane, bein shalei bizmane, ein mekatchenes. Bezin never sanctifies it. In other words, the first opinion Rava brought of Rabbi Eliezer ben Tzadik says, after 29 days, Bezin is mekadesh, after 30, not. Plima holds, after 30, yes, after 29, no. And Rabbi Eliezer says, never. Not after 29, not after 30. They're only missing one opinion, that after both you have to. He says, Bein bizmane, bein shlei bizmane, ein mekatchenes. Bezin doesn't have to sanctify Rosh Chodesh. Why do we see it? Because it says, by the Jubilee year, it's the 50th year, it says, V'kidashtem eshnas ha-chamishim shana. You have to sanctify the 50th year. From there we learn, years need to be sanctified, but months not. Shanim atam mekadesh, v'atam mekadesh chadosh. Okay, so this is the Gemara's three opinions of what the Mishnah means by Ibar HaChodesh, that you need three. Okay? Then, Rav Shim Gamliel in the Mishnah said, you start with three. Here, Mishloishim Aschilin, the mayor holds, Ibar HaChodesh or Ibar Shana is three. Okay? Then Rav Shim Gamliel says, no, you start with three, you end up, go to five, and you end up with seven. That's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said in the Mishnah. Okay? Yeah, 1 second. The Gemara's going to explain. Tanya, we learned in the Bright. Kate said, how does this work? Okay? This is not about Kiddush HaChodesh. This is about a leap year. The mayor holds, in order to figure out if a year is going to be a leap year, not two others, you know, that whole thing, you need a Besdin of three. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel argues and says, that's not the way it went. It started with three, went to five, and you ended with seven. If, then the mission concludes. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if b'di'evit you did it with three, it's done. But l'chadchila you start, the Gemara is going to explain exactly what that means. It doesn't make sense. What does it mean? So he says like this, Tanya Kate said, I'm Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, what does it mean, this that Rav Shimon Gamliel says, v'shleishim aschilin, you start the issue of about a leap year with three. Then you discuss it further with five. And you make the final decision with seven. How does it work? What happens if Besdin sits down, okay, one guy of the three of the Besdin says, you know what, let's sit down to see if it needs a leap year or not. Let's see, maybe it needs a leap year. And two say, no, we don't need to sit. It's not a question. There's for sure no leap year. So the single opinion is bottle, because it's two against one. So he's not. So they don't sit down to do it. What happens? Shnayim emim leishiv ve'echad emim leishiv. What happens if two guys say, let's do it, and one guy says, no, we don't need to? Now, meisifin aleim eight shnayim. You need to add another two to the original three. Because the Gemara is saying, in order to say, let's do it, you need three. Now you have two said, let's do it, and one said, no. So instead of saying he becomes bottle, the Shem Gamliel says, that's not what you do. You add another two, v'neisim v'neisim v'dover, and they start discussing the matter if they need to do it or not. Okay?
So
1 minute. What happens then? So now you are with five. Correct? Shnayim emim tzricham. What happens if three people said, we need to make a leap here? Ushleisha emim eina tzricha. And three say no. Okay? Batol shnayim b'miyutim. The two become nullified. Therefore, you don't do it. Right? Because three said no. Shleisha emim tzricham ushnayim emim ein tzricha. What happens if three of the five say you need to make a leap here? And two say no. Meisifin aleim eight shnayim. You need to add another two to make it seven. Shein aminyan pachas mishleisha. Because in this case, you need exactly seven.
Only for a year they need seven or not for...
Only for this.
I thought you said you need three. Now it's going to be seven.
Because there's a bunch that say no.
Because there's a bunch that...
In other words... Bottom line, the Gemara is saying, in order to make a leap year, you need three to say yes. So if you have two say yes and one says no, so you don't have three. So you need to add another two. Because you can't add one, then it's an even number. Even number is not a bezdin, right? You need an odd number. So three, two say let's do it, leap year. One says no leap year. So you don't have a leap year because you only have two. So you add another two to the discussion.
Right.
Now, if three say yes and two say no,
that should be good.
Huh?
Good.
No, but you still need, he says, once you have that, you need, according to Shem Gamliel, you need six. Seven, I mean.
Majority of four?
If seven, the four say no, two say yes, three say yes, it still is good.
You win by two.
Huh?
Four, seven. Four say yes, three say no.
Yeah, same thing, you have to keep adding two.
You have to keep, no, you don't, never add more than seven.
So what, are they accepted now at this situation?
No, then, well, once you have seven, then it's the majority will rule if you need it or not.
So why, if four say yes and three says no, why is that any different from two and one? Or two?
Because you have four that's saying yes.
But three says no, the difference is one.
Yeah, but you have three that say yes.
Four.
But I'm saying you have the three plus one.
Three always
that nullify the other three.
Why I still understand the three versus two case? Why is that one not good enough?
Because you need three to say yes.
So that makes you just say yes.
Then you don't need more.
Yeah, but but that's what Shim Gamliel says. And the Gemara is going to learn it out from the Psukim. Where do you get the seven from?
Why is it for not the leap year one is enough?
Not one.
Two and one is batu. One was batu for not doing it.
Right.
The very first case.
Right.
But for doing it, you need three.
Because I told you, to make the leap year, you need a bezdin. If the guy says no, you don't have a bezdin.
You have to have three minimal.
Danny suggested it's not in the Gemara, but it's true. If you have three people say yes.
Yes, and two say no, why do you need to...
You don't need to add more to make it.
But no, but if Shem Gamliel says you do need to add.
Why? You don't need to add.
Huh?
To the previous opinion tomorrow, you need at least three to say yes.
I think 18 is three, not 18 is seven. Or 18 is not four, 18 is three.
Yeah, if the three say yes, why do you need to add?
One sec. This is what he's saying over here. At the bottom he's saying that... Only situation where the judge disagreed whether leap year, if he considers it unnecessary and two consider it necessary, the other two judges added. The first three judges unanimously agreed on the leap year, okay? What happens if three right away say yeah? See, that's he brings out the machlokes. There's an argument between the Yad Raman and the whatchamacallit. The Ran holds you need seven period. Even if three are unanimously going to say, what happens if you have a bezin of three and they all say you need a leap year? According to the Ran, you still need to be seven. Why? Based on the Gemara coming up.
This is not in.
Why not
start with seven?
Why you
start with
seven
right away?
Yeah.
That's only
according to his opinion.
Why are you playing game?
Because you're Jewish.
Isn't it also in Katzah punishment? Everybody said the guy said guilty, you don't accept that. Because if everybody.
Yeah, but this is not to do with guilty. The Torah says you have to find favor.
If all three, there's got to be a peace.
So let's see what the Gemara continues. Hani Shleish Hamisha Veshiva connected me. Who do the 3, 5, and 7 correspond with? Where do you get this number 3, 5, 7? Pliga bar Rabbi Yitzchok bar Nachmani v'chad ime. Rabbi Yitzchok bar Nachmani and another person argue. Who is the other person? Some people say Uman Rab Shimon ben Pazi, and the other opinion says no, it was Rab Shimon ben Pazi and somebody with him who was Rabbi Yitzchok bar Nachmani, which I really don't understand. They're the same two guys anyway. The question, who were the two? Okay. Rabbi Yitzchok ben Nachmani okay. Chad Amr once said like this. Kenege Birchas Koyanim. Okay? In Birchas Koyanim, if Arecha Hashem v'yishmerecha has three, Yor Hashem Panav Elecha v'choneka is five, Yis Hashem Panav Elecha v'yasim l'cho sholem has to do with seven.
What does that have to do with Kiddush?
V'chad Amr, one second. V'chad Amr.
Yor is four.
No. Yar Hashem Panav Elecha V'Chunaka. So he brings out the bottom. So the Mefarshim asks, what's 3, 5, 7? So go 3, 5, 7 and hopscotch. I mean, like, what's the connection? So he says, some Mefarshim answer interestingly. Birchas Koyanim and the Kiddush HaChedush Hashem has to agree with. That's what it says. V'Sama Shemi Abnei Yisrael. Vani Avorachem. Hashem says, I will make it happen. So they say, definitely Birchas Koyanim, Hashem has to make the bracha happen. They say, I mean, it's
a seed.
Yeah. And the other one says like this. Where did you get to 3, 5, and 7? Shleisha Keneged Shemir Asaf. In the Beis HaMikdash, there are three gatekeepers. Chamisha Reya Pnei HaMelech. Five to the ministers that see the kings in it's a pasuk in Malachim, and Shiva Reya Pnei HaMelech, and seven that see the face of the king. Rashi says in the Megillas Esther, says Shiva Reya Pnei HaMelech Hayeshvim Rishena B'Malchus, the seven people over there. Taisa says, what does that have to do with Achashverosh? So Taisa says there's another pasuk in Malachim that also says about seven with the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so there's two reasons why you need 3, 5, and 7. Either corresponding with Birchas Koyanim, or corresponding with the guys in the king's thing. So Tana Rav Yosef Taka learned in a Braisa. He said, we found this clearly in a Braisa. It says, Hani Shleishiv Chamishiv Shiva. Where do you get, the Braisa says it, which is Tanoim. Where do you get the 3, 5, and 7? He says, Shleisha Keneged Shemir Asaf, Chamisha Reya Pnei HaMelech, Shiva Reya Pnei HaMelech. Okay, so it was clearly in a brice at this reason, not because of Birchas Koyanim, but because of the guys. So now the Gemara, Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef, Ada Idna my time Ali Parish to Marachi. Why did you ever never explain this? Rav Yosef said it to Abai, right? He was his Rebbe. So Abai says, hey, you never told us this before. Like, Why didn't you tell us this thing before? I didn't know that you needed the information. I didn't know that you cared. Did you ever ask me something and I didn't tell you? Obviously, you didn't ask me. I didn't tell you. Abayi said, why didn't you tell us this earlier? He says, because you didn't ask me, I didn't tell you. Do you ever not ask me something I didn't tell you? I always told you. You didn't ask, I didn't tell you. In fact, in the Gemara of Hanukkah, in the Gemara in Shabbos, it talks about Hanukkah, also with Abaya said, why didn't you tell us this earlier? Why, if I would have only known this earlier? Tell me about Hanukkah. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? You know it now. So you don't know. So now you know it. What's the difference? He said, Girsa de Yankasa. Girsa de Yankasa means the Torah you learn when you're young, you don't forget. Mm-hmm. So he said, if I would have known it then, I would have never forgotten. By the way, Abaye died at 60. He wasn't that old when he died.
Not
40? No, Rabbi died at 40. Okay. Zman Nasi. Okay, now the Gemara just says, Zman Nasi, this is just an acronym to remember. The Gemara should remember the next things. Okay. Talk about Rabban alert. A Me'avin es Hashana Elabim Mezomin La. In order to do the Kiddush Hashana, okay, they had to designate Dayanim for the job. Okay? In other words, before they actually sat down to do it, they designated the judges, you're going to sit in this group, to give the judges time to think about it before they sat. You know, just on their own to figure it out, and then when they sat, they would work it out. The Gemara says, Ma'isib Ram Gamliel, there's a talk of story of Ram Gamliel, Sha'ama Ashkimuli Shiva Laliyah. He told the people at night, I need you seven people to come in the morning for in the attic. Whenever they wanted privacy, this you find all over Shas. Whenever the Chachamim wanted privacy, they went up to an attic. They would lock the door and they would work on it until they were done. Okay? So he says, I need seven judges to get up early in the morning to come to the attic. Okay? Hishki Mamata Shmaina. They come in the morning, there's eight guys there. Problem. One Jew popped in uninvited. What else is there? Amad, so Ram Gamliel came and said, Misha Allah Shalei Beshus Yated. The guy that came up without permission, get lost. Amad Shmuel HaKotten, so the famous Shmuel HaKotten, it's unbelievable. Anihu Shalisi Shalei Beshus. He said, I came up without, I was the one. And the Gemara says, and he said, at least, I didn't go up to be one of the seven. I came up to watch the proceedings. But Shmuel HaKotten said, I'm the one that entered without permission. Which wasn't true, the Gemara is going to say. He did have permission. It was somebody else, but not to embarrass him, he said it was me. But he said, I didn't come here to be one of the seven, I came here to watch.
Because of this, it's called Shmuel
HaKotten. One minute. El Limer Alocha Okay? Amar Lei, Sir Gamliel said to Shmuel HaKotten, Shev Beni Shev, sit my son. Ru'uyis Kol HaShanim Kulim L'Sabar Yadecha. The truth is, you're the one that could do it. Okay? El Amar Chom Eimabma Seshon El B'mezuman Lola. In other words, he said to Shmuel HaKotten, really, you know, sit down. You're really good for it. But what can I tell you? The Chum said they have to be designated. And if you weren't designated, tough luck. So the Gemara says, V'lei Shmuel HaKotten Ava. But Shmuel HaKotten wasn't the uninvited guest. Al-Ina Shachrin was another person. U'machmes Kisufa U'David. He didn't want to embarrass somebody. The Gemara tells about the Shmuel HaKotten in Saita. Okay, so they bring out the bottom interesting question. Lepoil, if Shmuel HaKotten was one of the designees, and somebody else wasn't, and Shmuel HaKotten left, you would only have 60 guys.
Designated.
Designated guys would only be six. Because one of them is a faker. Right? So then, it comes out that they would do it with six instead of seven. So how would Shmuel HaKotten allow such a thing to happen?
Go to five.
No. So he says, Shmuel HaKotten understood, Ram Gamliel would figure it out himself already. Huh? Ram Gamliel himself would figure out which one didn't belong there. Oh. The Gemara tells about Shmuel HaKotten like this. Number one, when Aji Knesset said that, just a little story about, history about Shmuel HaKotten. Why was he called Shmuel HaKotten? Because he humbled himself.
Shmuel and Rav, it's not the same.
No. This is a Tana. This is in Tamar Ram Gamliel. This is four generations before Rav and Shmuel. The Shmuel HaKotten of the Mishnah. In Pirkei Avos, Shmuel HaKotten named B'Filei Vech Al Tismach, that he quotes a Pasuk in Mishlei. Shmuel HaKatan was called Shmuel HaKatan because he was extremely humble. The Gemara tells a story in Saita. The Gemara tells two stories. A bunch of rabbis were sitting in the days of Hillel, and a voice came out from heaven and said, you are fit for the Shekhinah to rest upon you. One of you is fit that the Shekhinah should rest upon you, but the generation is not fit. And they looked at Hillel. They said, hey Anav, hey Chosid, a Talmud of Ezra. Then one time, another time, they were sitting a few generations later, a bunch of Chacham together, a voice came out from heaven and said, one of you is fit for the Shekhinah to rest, but the generation is not Roy. And they looked at Shmuel HaKotten, and they said, hey Anav, hey this, Talmud of Hillel. He was eventually a Talmud of Hillel. And so Shmuel HaKotten was extremely great. When the Shemoneh Esrei was made with 18 brachas, everybody knows, we added the 19th bracha of Olam Moshinim. Who added that 19? Who made it up? Shmuel HaKotten. Rabbi Gamliel had his big Bezdin. Rabbi Gamliel was a powerful Bezdin. He did Ibn HaKadosh, Ibn HaShoah. I mean, Rabbi Gamliel, the original Rabbi Gamliel, was very powerful. He had a Bezdin. When a lot of Apikursim were coming up, a lot of non-believers and troublemakers and snitchers, and so Rabbi Gamliel said, who can make a bracha against the snitchers? V'la Moshinim. So Shmuel HaKotten made the bracha. So this bracha that we have al Moshinim, you can understand. The whole Shemoneh Esrei is Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. And V'la Moshinim was Shmuel HaKotten. So you can imagine, there's a few generations later. So you can imagine how great he was that he equaled Anshei Knesset HaGedolah in establishing a bracha V'la Moshinim. He was a super great guy. But he was so humble, he was one of the designees. But not to embarrass somebody else, he said, okay, I just came up to watch the show.
But didn't they have a list? Who they invited?
No.
Them?
No.
It doesn't make
how
sense.
How you pick them? How you pick them?
The best didn't pick. There was designated
so if they
people.
They pick them, they know who they are.
Yeah, they know.
But the wrong guy was that, they didn't know. Maybe there was a choice there, a pool to choose from.
How could he lie, even though it's not because of the Arkei Shalom?
Huh?
How could he lie when it's not because of the Arkei Shalom?
So did Aaron come?
No, that's the Arkei Shalom. This is not the Arkei Shalom.
Pikuach
Nefesh.
Pikuach
Nefesh?
Yeah.
Pikuach Nefesh?
Embarrassing.
Kisufa? Blood?
You know what the Gemara says? If we learned yesterday's parsha from Tamar. Yeah? Tamar didn't say, I'm pregnant from you. She said, oh, I'm pregnant from this guy. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, it's worthy for a person to get killed, like Tamar.
Mm-hmm.
She was ready. If Yehuda wouldn't admit his guilt,
she
would get killed. Right? So the Gemara says, it's better to get burnt rather than embarrass somebody publicly. We learn that from Tamar, yeah? Mm-hmm. So Tesis in the Gemara Pesachim asks, but there's only three Avedis you give up your life for, and here it is a fourth, not embarrassing somebody. So Tesis answers because it's not explicit in Chumash. But in other words, Tesis is not saying that you don't give up your life. Tesis says you do give up your life. But it's because it's not mentioned clearly in Chumash, we say three instead of four. Now, what was your question? Are you allowed to lie to save a life? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay, so he lied.
Rabbi, maybe the reason that he said that reason was so that the uninvited person should have a good reason to say when they find them, kick him out.
What he was hoping, or Rabbi Gamliel was hoping, I mean, this whole scenario, that because he admitted, somebody else would come along and say, you know what, it was really me.
And the reason that he gave is the reason that I came out, just to be a student and watch.
There's a story with one of the people that somebody stole money and he said it was him and it wasn't him and... But he admitted that he did it, and he paid the guy the money, and then the real guy got turned on, because he said, if this guy admitted when he was innocent, how bad can I be already? So he admitted the guilt, and there was a whole fight, if she take the money or not, it went to Dentata. It's basically, I don't remember all the details of the story now. There's a guy who's known in the city as a miser. Okay, terrible miser, and when he died, nobody was going to go to the funeral. Maybe the one of the tzaddikim said, I want to know when the funeral is, I'm going. And the Rav of the city went, so the whole city went. The guy despised it, everybody hated his guts. Ended up, he said, because this guy came to me with three dentators. One of the dentators was, this guy was brought to the dentator about who should pay back the money. A gantzemeiser. So he said, because he won the dentator. There's another dentator that the same guy had, was that the Baditchev, or whoever it was, said, I'm going to the funeral. A guy left town on business, and his wife said to him, who's going to support me for a year? You're leaving for a year, you know, in those days. So the guy, the husband said, the rich guy in this city, I made up with him, he's going to support you. He leaves town, so the wife needed money, she goes to the rich guy, knocks on the door, says, what do you want? My husband said, you're going to support me for the year. So the butler was going to throw her out. And the gvir, this guy, this miser that everybody hated, saw what was going on. He caught on to the picture. He says, I forgot to tell you. Yeah, I made up with him. I'm going to support her for the year. So the gvir supported her for the year.
Was the father-in-law?
No. Definitely not the mother-in-law. Anyway, the guy comes back after a year. He was expecting to get shot. He comes back. The wife is living comfortably and nice, and there's food and clothing. So he says, what happened? She said, no, the guy you said was going to support me. So the guy already came back with money. So he went to the gvir and he says, thank you very much, but let me pay you back for what you supported me. He said, no, I never made up a deal with you. You don't owe me any money. So they went to the Rav. This is one of the three dentators. They went to the Rav. Because the guy said, you have your dentator. The guy says, I want to give you money. And the guy's fighting, I don't want to take the money. This is a... So the Rav Paskin, that the Gvir was right. The Balo, he says, he doesn't owe you money. You never made up with him a deal. He doesn't owe you money. I once had, by the way, two people in this city. Usually, you know, when you take out a kid in the middle of the year, the school wants the money for the rest of the year anyway because you signed up for the year, and that's a lot of dentators. This was mamash the opposite. This lady had a playgroup, and a kid got sick in the middle of the year and had to go out of the playgroup. The playgroup wanted to give back the money, and the parent refused to take it. Mamash the opposite of always. And they called me up, they called me up with a shiloh with it. But this is like the story, the reverse.
What was the answer?
Huh?
What was the answer?
I remember it 2 years ago. Do something with it, give me the money. What's the question? Okay.